Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to homebrew meeting tonight. This is December's homebrew meeting, the last one for 2014. And I'd like to thank everybody that has come out very faithfully over this year. And all those who listened over the internet, it's just been a joy and a privilege to share these wilderness truths from modern times with you. And it's just an honor. It's kind of hard to believe that we're going to be doing number 18 tonight. And number 18, that is 18 months we've been doing this. And it's just been an honor and privilege. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and turn our heart and our spirit towards, what the Lord would have for us tonight. And as our custom, we always look back at what we talked about a little bit last month, and that way we can just get our spirit moving in the right direction. So there's two points that I would like to share tonight from last month. And the first point, it is a very important point, and we must really allow this truth to grip our heart. And that is God and God alone provides everything that we need. God and God alone. Not my boss, not my wife, not my job, not my whatever. You can, fill in the blank there. But it is God who gives us breath. It is God who gives us favor. It is God who gives us everything. God provides everything that we need. And we must allow that truth to grip our heart. If not, then we will believe that we can do it in our self-strength. The Bible tells us not to lean to our own understanding. Well, if God is not the God of our life, then we are leaning to our own understanding, and that will lead us down the path that will take us fast out of God. Amen? And the second point that we need to look at tonight from last month is God knows what we need because He knows what He's going to make us into. Wow. God knows what we need. We don't know what we need, but God knows exactly what we need because He knows what we are to become. God has a plan for each and every person. And so if God has a plan for each and every person, He knows what we're going to become. And so He knows what we need to bring us to the end and the purpose that God has for our life. And it's critical that we also come and allow that truth to grip our heart, that God knows what we need. Again, we don't know what we need, but God knows what we need. And He loves us and He will give us those things that we need for us to come to the plan and the purpose that God has for our life. Those are two critical truths for every Christian, and we must allow those truths to just permeate through our spirit, and we must just walk in them, that God provides everything we need, and God knows everything that we need. Amen. Now let's go ahead and look at wilderness truth for modern times, number 18, and our verse today is taken from Ephesians, Ephesians 4, verse 12. It's a wonderful, wonderful verse. So for those that just came in and those that don't have the teaching outlines, here we go. There's some outlines right here. Amen. Ephesians 4, 12. For the perfecting, and that word perfecting is not to make perfect or like an apple or a flower that's perfect. That's not what that word perfecting is. It's a noun. And perfecting means to equip or equipping. So for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the equipping. Amen. So what we'd like to look at tonight, last month we looked at our equipment. Remember, we are in the wilderness of sin. The wilderness of sin is all about making soldiers, and God is making us into be soldiers. And so last month we looked at our equipment. We looked at our equipment, and this month we will look at our diet. We must have a proper diet. Amen. God provides the proper diet. Again, God provides all things, and He knows what He wants us to become. So He knows what He needs to give us. And so God provides the proper diet for us. The diet is greatly varied. The diet in the Old Testament is very, very, very varied. The diet in the New Testament gives us much instruction. God gives us, through the Holy Spirit, the spiritual food that is necessity for a specific time and an occasion. That is a critical, that is another critical point tonight. This teaching has so many critical points, but that is very, very critical. That the Holy Spirit gives us the spiritual food to give our diet the food necessity for a specific time and an occasion. There are different seasons in our life, and as we go through different periods in our life and different judgments and dealings of God in our life, then God is specific in those dealings and those judgments, and He gives us the food, the spiritual food that we need to walk through those times. The food that we may get as an early Christian will not be the food that we will need to walk through as we mature in the grace of the knowledge of the Lord. But the Lord has spiritual food for specific times and occasion in our life. Proverbs 38 says this, "Remove far from me vanity and lies." Oh yes, move those far from me. "But give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with food convenient for me." Feed me with food convenient for me. And God knows just what that food is that we need, that spiritual food that we need that is convenient for that season, that occasion in our life, and that time of spiritual growth and development, you know, that we all must have. An important question that I have to ask us tonight is, what are we eating? Are we eating of the bounty of the Lord, that convenient food that He has for us? Are we eating of ourselves? Are we eating of the world? Are we tasting of the bounties that the world offers? Because it matters what we're eating. Because if we're not eating of God, then we're eating of the world. That's just the way that is. And if we're eating of the world, then we'll never, ever be able to come to the plan and the purpose that God has for us. God gives us what we need to meet the needs in our life. No matter what our need in our life, God has that food. He has that spiritual wherewithal to give to us to meet that need in our life. You know, it's kind of interesting that as Christians, we think we can go ahead and we can store up this, and we can store up this favor, and we can store up this spiritual food, and then kind of break it off when we need it. Well, that's not the way God operates. God operates by giving to us what we need at that time and that occasion. God has that diet. He has that spiritual food for us. And as we walk through a certain area in our life, God has that feeding. He has that food that is convenient for us as we walk through that. What a wonderful blessing that is for our life, that God has those things for us. Amen. When God wants to give you manna, then don't cry for meat. Gladly take what He is feeding you. Very specific feedings are necessities in order to become what God wants us to be. Amen. There are specific feedings. There are certain foods that God has for us in our diet in order for us to become what we're going to become. A weightlifter cannot just eat anything and not get muscles. Oh no. A weightlifter must eat protein and eat the right diet, and as he exercises out and you know, gets his muscles, then he'll be able to become that strong weightlifter. Well, it's the same thing in our spiritual life. We will never, ever be able to come to the purpose and the plan if we do not eat the diet that the Lord is giving us so that we can develop our spiritual wherewithal. By faith and trust, remember that is what is the work that is done in the skill, in the wilderness of sin, is to build faith and trust and endurance in us. But by faith and trust and desire, we reach out to God to receive from Him the rations that He has for us. Yes. Amen. Matthew 4:4, we talked about this verse the last couple months, is, "But He answered and said unto them, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. That word that He gives for us is our diet. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is what? Is what we are to live on. That is to be our substance, and that is to be our diet. You know, it's kind of interesting that we cannot take from God, that we must receive from Him. I hear so many Christians in the church say, "Take this, brother, and take that, and take this back from the devil, and, you know, the church is out there doing all this taking stuff. Well, that's not the way God operates. God is not in the taking business, and we can never, ever take anything from God. We, as His children, can only receive those things that He has for us. We can only receive those things that God desires to give us, that convenient food that He has for us. We can't even stand on the promises. I hear the Christians say, come on, brother, stand on the promises. Well, stand on what promises? You know? No, no, no. We can only stand on those promises that God speaks to us. And if God doesn't speak those promises to us, then we're standing in vain. We're just standing there and not believing anything. Amen? We must allow God to speak to us. Every word that proceeds out of His mouth, we can stand on that. We can stand on those words that proceed out of the mouth of God. If we are willing to eat from God's hand and leave other things alone, you will succeed in being a good soldier rather than a poor one. Now, there's a difference between a good soldier and a poor soldier. For one thing, a good soldier will live forever. A good soldier will live longer than a poor one will and be more productive while they're alive. One thing I learned about when I was in the military is if I remembered my training when the time that I needed, I lived better in the field. My life was just a lot better when I allowed the training that I went through to facilitate in what I was doing. And, you know, that's always stuck with me over the years. Amen? For one thing, a good soldier will live a lot longer than a poor one. That one soldier that does not learn the lessons, that does not learn how to use his weapons, just forgets everything he learned in battle, he's usually one of the first casualties of the battle. But a good soldier knows how to use his weapon and how to conceal himself and do all of those things, and they will live longer. Amen? The good soldier learns their lessons, and they obey the orders, and they win the battle. We cannot eat from others' hands. We can only eat from God's hands. The question I have for you tonight is what are you eating? And whose hands are you eating from? We cannot eat from others' hands. We must be eating from God's hands. Now, Samson, he tried that. Now, I like Samson. I really do. Samson, who was the first judge in the Bible, he tried that. He tried eating from the world's table, and then he tried eating from the Lord's table. And for a while, that worked. For a while, Samson would, he would live the ways of the world, and then then the Lord would use him. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord was on Samson, and he slew the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass and did all these great things. But there was a time when Samson's double lifestyle caught up with him. And unfortunately, it cost him his spiritual sight, and it cost him his physical sight. And in his death, he killed many, many Philistines. But Samson's life ended in victory over the Philistines, but he suffered all throughout his life because he was trying to eat from the world and from the Lord. He was trying to eat from both tables. Well, as Christians, we cannot do that. We can only eat with the Lord is feeding us. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Proper equipment also. Some more about equipment here. Proper equipment. And that is whatsoever. Whatsoever. Amen? 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, if you got a Bible there, you need to underline that. That is critical. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Even our faith. Now, it's important to know that overcome is a verb. Overcome is a verb. And we have a noun that is translated the same way in the Bible, and that's victory. So anytime you see the word overcome, then you will see, you're looking at the noun form of that, and that is victory. Amen. And that is victory. John is not talking about a whosoever. John is not talking about a whosoever. He is talking about a whatsoever. There is a whosoever as well as a whatsoever. Don't get them confused. Our faith has been born of God. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2 says that, which overcomes the world. If not our faith is born of, if not, then our faith is born of the arm of the flesh. It is our flesh looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If not, then our faith, if it's not of God, if it's not in Christ Jesus, then our flesh is born of the arm of, our faith is born from the arm of flesh. And if our faith cannot overcome the world, then it has not been born of God. Only, the only faith that is able to overcome the world is that faith that has been built in Christ Jesus. You know, we can have faith in man, we can have faith in so many things, but that faith that we have in our friends, in a doctor, in a pilot, as we travel, as I travel around the world, I'm always struck that I have faith in God, but I also have faith in those pilots, in the co-pilots who are flying that airplane. But that faith there doesn't overcome the world. That faith is just the faith that I have to get my body from point A to point B. But that faith, again, does not overcome the world. Only the faith that is born of God will overcome the world. We are born of God, too. Don't forget that. We are born of God. Don't forget that. That is critical. We are overcomers. As we overcome, the Lord grants us to sit with Him in His throne as He overcomes and is now sit down with His Father in His throne. But here's the point. Overcoming is not limited to the who. Not the whosoever. It also includes the what. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. What is our equipment that is born of God? Wow. Whatsoever, whatever it is, is born of God will overcome the world. We cannot overcome unless, if we cannot overcome, then we will not be able to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. The requirement for us to be seated with Christ in heavenly places is to be an overcomer. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11 that they overcame by the words of their mouth and by the blood of the Lamb, and they loved not their life to death. If God cannot make us overcomers, if God cannot work in our life and bring us to places to where we can overcome ourselves, we can overcome the world, overcome so many desires and drives and tensions and modes in our life, then we will never ever be seated with Christ in heavenly places. It is God's intention in our life to work in our life so that we can overcome lust in our life. We can overcome these areas in our life that are not of God. And that's what God is looking for. And it is our faith in God, that will enable us to become overcomers. Amen. It is critical. And there is even an order. There's an order of even overcoming in our life. And the first thing we must be able to overcome in our life is our love for the world. It is critical. I know I've said that a number of times, but like I said, there's a bunch of critical things that we're looking at tonight here, that we must be able to allow God to work in our life and help us to overcome the world. We'll never ever be able to tackle ourselves. We'll never ever be able to, you know, tackle the love we have in ourselves and our self-seeking and our religiosity and all of this stuff unless we can allow God to work in our life and help us to overcome the world. Because if we can overcome the world, then and only then can we go ahead and allow God to help us to tackle ourselves. Because if we don't overcome the world, then there will be a hook. There will be a hook in us for ourselves just to fall into. But if our love for the world has been killed, if God has been able to deal a death blow for the love of the world in us, then ourselves can be dealt with. And if we can allow God and trust God enough to deal with ourselves, to kill ourselves, then and only then we'll be able to take on Satan, the real bad guy in our life. Amen. So that is the order. We must allow God to work in our lives so He can kill our love for the world and our love for ourselves and then we will be able to take on Satan. Amen. So many Christians say, I'm going to go take back this, I'm going to do this to Satan, I'm going to beat up Satan and all this. And all Satan is doing is just laughing because he knows the love for the world in those Christians and the love for their self is his hook. And that's where he just manipulates them and gets them to do so many things. Amen. Anything that is born of God can overcome anything that is of the world. Wow, I need to write that down. Anything that is born of God can overcome anything in the world. And God translates us into his kingdom as we allow God to work in our life, as we allow God to grow us and we mature in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then God is able to translate us from this earthly into the heavenly. And the heavenly kingdom that I'm talking about is not going to heaven. What I'm talking about is the kingdom here on earth that Jesus came, and that is the kingdom of God, is peace and joy and love and the Holy Spirit. And as we allow God to work in our life, then God is able to translate us from this earthly kingdom, the, you know, love for the world and ourselves and all that, into this kingdom of peace and joy and love and the Holy Spirit. There we can come under many things which are born of God. They are all designed to overcome or to bring the victory, which is the verb. I'm sorry, which is the noun. The Greek word victory and overcome are translated as the same word, Psalms 35:28. One is a verb and one is a noun. Whatsoever is born of God gets the victory over the world. Wow. You could write that down in your notes tonight. Whatsoever is born of God gets the victory over the world. Do we really believe this tonight? That's an important question tonight. You need to answer yourself. Do you believe that? Do you believe whatsoever? That's unqualified. It's unqualified. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. It's encouraged to know that we are moving under that which is born of God. Amen? Either we're moving under that in our life that is born of God, or we're moving in our life of those things that is born of ourself and our world. And I'm talking about ministry. I was talking to my brother when he was here last month, and he was talking about ministry is just a wonderful place for people to hide in. And it's so true. You know, either we're moving under things that we have initiated, we're moving and we're doing things even for God, and things that we have originated that have not been born of God, or we're moving in those things that are born of God. Many Christians do not know the difference, because they've never really had that personal experience with God, and they've never allowed God to work in their life. And so they're out there doing all those religious things, and the things that are they're born, you know, that's born of, but they're not born of God. Amen. Only those things that are born of God, there is no defeat. Amen. Defeat does not exist in God. If you're looking for defeat tonight, you're going to have to go somewhere else, because defeat is not in God. Now listen, underline this if you have your notes. Defeat is something we feel. Defeat is something we feel. Faith in God empowers us to overcome these feelings. Wow, now that was worth coming tonight for, and that was worth listening for. Defeat is something we feel. It is not born of God. Defeat is born of man. But defeat is something we feel. Faith in God empowers us to overcome these feelings. No Christian needs to be defeated at any time. There is a permanent victory in God, if we believe that. There is a permanent victory in God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a wonderful truth? Here in this Christmas season, with the birth of Jesus and, the whole Christmas story, there is a permanent victory in that whole story. There is a permanent victory in God. If not, then we are moving under that which is not born of God, but it is born of the world, or it's born of ourself, or in a lot of cases, believe it or not, in some churches, it is born of Satan. There is no defeat in God. There's only victory, and there's only overcoming. And we must not feel defeat, because that is a feeling, and that's not of God. Whatsoever is born of God, that's the part of the soldier's equipment, and this is that is used for battle. It is provided in training in order to win the victory and to conquer. If we cannot learn in training, then we will. If we cannot learn in training, then we will not have the weapons for the battle. When I was in the military, I learned how to shoot pistols and rifles and all of these things. And if I never learned how to do those, then when I was in combat, and I've been in combat twice, then I would have never had the ability to defend myself with those. And so I saw quickly that it was critical that when I was in training, when I was in learning, that I go ahead and I learn. And I learn. And I learn. Amen. Remember, Satan has no power over man except that they give him. He cannot of his own violation do evil to man or trust. Amen. Amen. Sweetheart?
Yes.
Who is it?
Yeah.
Oh? Okay. Oh, gosh. Okay, I will.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Wooper, how are you?
We
are. No, it's okay. We are.
Yes, Father.
We are. Okay, we are. Yes, recording right now. So, okay, and no problem. Here, pick up.
I will get us, let's see.
Okay. Okay, praise God. Okay, we are on D on the second page. Amen. Amen. D. It's encouragement to know we are moving under that which is born of God. There is no defeat in God. Defeat exists, but not in God. Defeat is something we feel. Faith in God empowers us to overcome these feelings. That's why God gives us faith, so we can overcome. That's one reason why God gives us faith, so we can overcome these feelings. No Christians need to be defeated at any time. There is a permanent victory that God has for the children of God. Amen? That's such a critical truth. Whatsoever is born of God at that part of the soldier's equipment is for the battle. It is provided in training in order to win the victory and for conquest. Remember, Satan has no power over man except that man gives him. He cannot of his own violations do evil to man or harm him. Isn't that amazing? That Satan has no power over man except for what we give him. Only with the authority which has been delivered to him can he hurt men. Satan has no authority in any realm except that which has been delivered to him either by God or by man. And of course we can see in the life of Job that God allowed some things to touch Job's life to check his heart out and see how much he really loved God. And of course in the end, Job said, though God slay me, yet I trust him. People will say, God would never do that. Yes, God would do that. And God will do, if he does it to Job, and God's not a respecter of a person, then I will tell you right here tonight that God will work that in our life. God will check us out. And as we see at the end of Job, the patient man of Job, well, he wasn't so patient. And God had to speak to him in the end and say, where were you? Where were you when I created the universe? And I think it was 43 questions that God asked Job. And it was a real life of Job. But God said that Job was a righteous man. Amen. And God will judge us and he will prove us also. Amen. Our faith is born of God. Amen. Birthing by God is not limited to your faith, the Bible says, whatsoever. Again, what we're talking about is not whosoever, but we're talking about whatsoever. Whatsoever is born of God. Now that's unqualified. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, overcomes ourselves, and yet will overcome the devil. Amen. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes. A prayer that is born of God overcomes. It will overcome in areas into which it was directed. A burden of prayer means victory. Now, I underline that in my notes, but I like that. Anytime you ever have a burden of prayer, that means victory is on the way if you pray. A burden of prayer always means victory. God's birth and that burden, because, you know, that is whatsoever. That's one of those whatsoevers, is that burden of prayer. And God has birthed that. And so whatsoever is born of God is always victorious, is always an overcomer. The victory is obvious. It is something that is sure. There is no doubt. There couldn't be anything but victory, because there's no defeating God. No defeating God. God has never been defeated, and He never will be. So anything that is born of God will always all be victorious. To even imagine that there could be failure and defeat is absolutely ridiculous. But do we believe that? Many Christians do not believe that. But we must believe that. We must allow that truth to grip our heart to the point that we will die for that. Whatever it is that God gives birth to overcomes the world. And as we see the order, it overcomes ourself, and it will overcome Satan. And that is the order. Because if we do not allow God to work in our life so that He can kill the love for our love for the world and all of the things in the world, then we'll never have the faith to allow God to help us overcome ourselves and our flesh. And if God can't work in our life and bring us to a point that He can kill our flesh, then we'll never be able to, take on Satan and God. It's impossible, because we will have that hook of the world, and ourself will be there, and that's what Satan will use to manipulate in our lives. Amen. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. We must get this truth, deep, deep, deep in our spirit. Amen. Yeah. That is the part of our heritage in God. That is a part of our heritage in God. The provisions of God is that He brings into us that which He births in us. Let me say that again. The provision of God is that He brings to us that which He births in us. So if God is not birthing something in us, then that is not going to be a whatsoever. And whatsoever God births in you, whatever that is, will overcome the world, no matter what it is. Amen. Two great verses in support of that. 1 and 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. 1 and 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And John 3, 6, tremendous verse. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." God does not birth the flesh in us. God births the Spirit. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Our weapons are not carnal. Why? Because they are not birthed by the flesh. Our weapons are not carnal. They're not carnal. Because carnal weapons are birthed by the flesh. Our weapons are spiritual, mighty in God, through the pulling down of strongholds. Now, strongholds are things that we depend on for strength. Things that we lean on. Things that, that prop us up. Those are the strongholds in our life. And those are birthed by the flesh. And so and our weapons are mighty through God's spiritual weapons for pulling them down. Amen. That is why they are carnal. We could possess weapons that are birthed in the flesh. I know, at times in my life, I've had weapons that were birthed in my flesh, and things I wanted to do, and things I wanted to say, and stuff like that. But that's not the way God works, because God's weapons are spiritual, and they're mighty for pulling down those strongholds in our life. Some people pray out of a fleshly desire. Amen? I know, I'm not the only person that has ever done that. But oftentimes we will pray out of a fleshly desire. And if a believer does not have a power birthed by God, he may attempt to use the power birthed by his flesh. And you see a lot of ministries today that go ahead and they try to do things that have not been birthed by God, and they try to do things in their flesh. And usually that is chaos and confusion, and God is not glorified. Because I will tell you, that is born of the flesh is flesh, and we must be careful as Christians not to get over in those areas. We need to allow God's Spirit to move in our lives. We must allow God to use us, and we must use those spiritual weapons, you know, for the pulling down of those strongholds in our life. Because either we will move with the things that are born of the Spirit, or we will move of the things that are born of the flesh. That's just, either we move spiritually in the flesh, or we're going to move in the Spirit. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And we must be careful that we do not get over in these fleshly examples, in these fleshly things, because flesh only begots flesh. Amen. And it is our word. It is our word that reflects our heart. And it's easy to see, a fleshly reaction to something in a church or in someone's life. Maybe I'll save that for another night. Amen. Some parting thoughts here. You may be very well equipped with weapons and not be conscious of their effectiveness. Amen?
Amen.
Some may not even be conscious that they even have weapons. Yet, while you are not conscious of your weapons, God can do with them what many may not even cross your mind. There can be a great victory won while the believer knows nothing about them. How about that? The greatest victories are won in silence, most never seen by men. We do not know the people that we have influenced, right or wrong, in our life, unless they come up and they tell us. But I will tell you, some of the greatest victories that I have had in my life, they have been won in silence. And I think that is where God wants all of these, a lot of these victories to happen. It may be in our life. It may be in the life of a friend, or it may be in the life of folks that you do not even know. I like not knowing about churches when I go to minister to them. A lot of, I'll go to a church and someone will say, well, let me tell you what's going on in this church. And I say, I don't want to hear what's going on, because if I'm going to minister the Word of God, then I need to minister the Word of God and not preach at a situation or a circumstance. And God really showed me that. I think it was like the second or third time I was in India. I was just really tired and drained, and I was in India. It was like 2.5 weeks, and I was just tired. And it was the last night that I was going to be there, and we were going to fly out that next morning. And so I was in my room, and it was an air conditioned room, which was kind of strange. I had this nice air conditioned room, and I was laying there on the bed, and I was quiet before the Lord. I said, "No, Lord, this is my last shot at this trip, and I need something deep and spiritual. I need something really good, really good." And he drew my attention to the lady at the well, And I said, "No, Lord, I don't want to teach on that. I mean, that's not deep and spiritual. I want something really good, A second time, he kind of encouraged me toward that line of thinking. And I said, "Well, Lord, I'd rather not, And the Lord said, "You will. This is what I want you to teach on." And I said, "Okay." So I got up there, and there were probably maybe 500,000 people there. And I'm thinking, wow, this is just going to be fantastic, man, And I got up, and everything just didn't happen. I mean, it was just terrible. I thought that was the worst service, the worst message I ever preached in my life. The sound system didn't work, and it was just terrible, And so, anyways, the service went on, and I finished, and I prayed for, some of the sick folks. And then in the next morning, I left, and when I get back, I would always send an email to my host and say, "Back at home, safe and sound." So anyways, I went ahead, and I sent the email, and when I sent the email, I got a phone call from Pastor S.G. Peter and he was my host pastor, and he said, "Oh, Pastor Dave, okay, I just want to thank you for you know, you coming in a wonderful time and stuff like that, and especially for that last message, you know, 2 nights ago that you preached. It was the best message I ever heard in my life." And I said, "What?" My wow, you know, he said, "Wow, you know, you do not know what the Lord did in that message." And I said, "No, I don't, but you know, please tell me." He said, "No, you did not know, but there was about 5 or 6 churches that were having sex with one another. All the males, you know, they were all having, and it was a Hindu, you know, custom. And they were all having sex, and what I was talking about real love, you know. And it said, you know, that message just really broke that going on in those churches. Now, if I would have known about that, then I would have probably preached about something like that or whatever. But since I didn't know, I just shared with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit did the work. And that's why it's, you know, it's good not to know what's going on. And then the Lord will be able to work through that. Amen. We effect victories, pulling down strongholds in lives which we know nothing about. All done, not in the carnal, but in the spiritual. Remember, our weapons are birthed in the spiritual. Our weapons are birthed in the spiritual. Maybe a word, maybe a prayer, an act of love and obedience. We never know what lives we touch. We would go the rest of our lives not knowing how God uses our faithfulness. That's a deep truth right there. We may go the rest of our life not knowing how God has used our faithfulness, but it does not matter. It does not matter to us. It should not matter to us. If we must know how God has used our faithfulness, then we have done what we've done for God out of the wrong intention and the wrong motive. And that is a deep spiritual truth that a lot of Christians have a hard time, because they want pats on the back, they want someone to say how well they're doing, so forth and so on. But it's better to go the rest of your life and not know how God has used you in this area or in this situation than to know. We just need to go along for the ride and let God use us as He sees fit. And that's just where that is. You may come across a person who was under a tremendous attack by the enemy. And I use that term enemy in the general sense of the word. It could be named an attack of Satan, or this could be an attack. That which God has birthed in your heart may be drawn out and offered to that person in that situation. Whatever God has birthed in your heart, that whatsoever that God has put within there, God will draw that out and will feed that to that individual. It would then be victory to that person. Wow, it would be victory. Perhaps you do not know what that person was under the attack. You may have been unaware that there was a great battle or a great struggle going on in their life. The soldiers that were fighting for Israel against the Amalekites were unaware that Moses had had his hands raised, and that was in Exodus 17:11. There are many things that we are not aware of, and that is best. I have found it is best not to know everything what God is doing. I have found it is best just not even to want to know everything. It is best we do not know, because if we do know, then we will try to help God. We will try to help Him. You know, and God has a bunch of little small gods. And God asked them, they're little G's, you know. We'll go ahead and we'll try to make things happen and help Him and do all those things. And it's better not to know. Also, it's better not to know, because if you know, you may not want to go. You know, a lot of people say, "I'm ready to go to Africa," or "I'm ready to go here," or "I'm ready to go there." Well, if you know what's going on in some of these countries, you won't want to go. That was the case when I went to Ethiopia. There was a certain brother was ready to go to Ethiopia. Then he started talking to some of these people and security guards and all this stuff going on, and he backed out. You know, so it's better, you know, not to know. My Bible teacher said if he would ever have a bumper sticker he would make up, it would be this: it's fun to be dumb. And I think that's the way that God wants it to, you know, fun to be done for us, not to know what's going on and just go along with Him, and He will take care of all those. There are weapons mighty through God. These are a birth of God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those things that we depend on for strength. Something we depend on. Something that props us up. But before we can allow God to use us to pull down strongholds in others' lives, we first must allow God to do this work in our life. There is no way that we can go ahead and help pull down strongholds in other people's lives if we are bound with strongholds in our lives. We first must allow God to work in our life and bring us into some dealing and judgment and some tough areas and some experiences in our life so that we know what faith is all about and we can work in there. Then, and only then, are we able to come and minister to our brothers and our sisters, even in areas where we do not know, you know what we're doing. But God knows what we're doing because He birthed those things in us, and we just go and we just give them to them in the sublime and the holiness of the Lord. Before we can allow God to use us to pull down strongholds, we must allow God first to do this work in our lives. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for your love and your many blessings, Father. Lord, we thank you for this time, Father, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for this word, Father. Lord, we thank you for this year, Father, Lord God, of wilderness truths for modern times, Father. And we just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God. Lord, take this word, Father, Lord God. And Lord, we just love you, Father, Lord God. We love you, Father, tonight. You're so wonderful to us, Father, Lord God. We love you, Father. Lord, take this word, this broken bread, Father, Lord God, and let us feast on that, Father, Lord God. And we just love you and we thank you, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.